This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The guilty plea and sentencing of lobbyist Jack Abramoff elevated his story into one of full-fledged scandal. Mr. Abramoff was well-wired in Congress, if not the administration as well. He wined and dined the Washington power elite, and he actually bilked poor people, Indians whose tribes have recently prospered from casino gambling. Many who knew or dealt with Abramoff have dismissed him as a bad apple, but from reading Matthew Continetti's book, you come away persuaded that this corruption was both systemic and also part of a system of pretty recent vintage. Matthew Continetti is a young Washington journalist and author of The K Street Gang. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
What was the K Street Project, first of all?
The K Street Project was an effort begun in 1989 by a few conservative activists, specifically Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform, to shift the giving, the political donations of the lobbying community in a Republican direction. And over the course of many years, the project has been remarkably successful. There's now parity. If you look at the political giving of the lobbyists who reside on K Street in downtown D.C., they give equally to Democrats and Republicans. In fact, on some cycles, they give more to Republicans than to Democrats. This is a very new phenomenon.
I mean, when Grover Norquist set out, the Democrats enjoyed the advantage.
That's right, precisely.
Apart from the money evening out, more of it going to Republicans now than it used to, how does the system differ from what had been the conventional relationship between lobbyists, lawmakers, and campaign contributors?
Well, I think the most marked difference is this growth of K Street, because what happened was, rather than turning all the lobbyists in downtown D.C. into conservative Republicans, which wasn't going to happen, many lobbyists are bipartisan, so that, rather than making every lobbyist a conservative Republican, you basically put on another layer of lobbyists. And so you've had an explosion in the lobbying industry over the past decade, in fact, over the past 5 years. That's a consequence of this project, because if the old guard of lobbyists aren't necessarily going to work with Republicans, you're going to need to create a new guard of lobbyists.
How much money are we talking about, and how many people, how many lobbyists are there on K Street?
Well, lobbying is a $2 billion a year industry. And lobbyists, and there are now around 36,000 registered lobbyists, a smaller portion of that, though still tens of thousands, are active.
How important was Tom DeLay to the success of Jack Abramoff on K Street in Washington, or would Jack Abramoff have thrived had there been no Tom DeLay?
It's funny, and perhaps an irony, when Abramoff returned to Washington in 1994 as a lobbyist for the firm Preston Gates, he championed his connections not to Tom DeLay, but to Newt Gingrich, who was someone that he had known for decades, in fact. They had met in the early 1980s when Abramoff was the head of College Republicans and a bright young star, actually, in conservative circles. So I would say that Preston Gates probably hired Abramoff not only because of his many talents at persuasion, but also his connections to Gingrich. There are competing stories about how Abramoff met DeLay, but they met sometime in late 94 and early 95. And at that point, I think DeLay became central to Abramoff's program. Not only DeLay, but many of DeLay's chief staff members, including Ed Buckham, and, of course, Tony Rudy, who recently pleaded guilty to conspiracy.
Let's look at the constellation of people surrounding Jack Abramoff.
Sure.
How much money do you think passes through that family of lobbyists throughout the 1990s?
Well, I mean, just to give an example of the hard numbers that we have from the fraud scheme that Abramoff and his partner, Michael Scanlon, who was formerly of DeLay's staff, bilked those Indian tribes of about $66 million. And that, of course, was in addition to the about $20 million that the tribes paid Abramoff legally, paid his two firms over the course of 10 years. So you're talking several tens of millions of dollars. Now, in an American economy that's, $12 trillion, it's kind of a drop in the bucket. But for Washington, this is a significant amount of money.
You came to Washington straight out of college, I guess, a young conservative.
That's right.
Idealistic.
I would say so. I would say actually probably more naive than idealistic.
Not how so? How so?
Quite understanding how Washington works. I think young people are drawn to the spectacle of politics. These great political actors are elected representatives who engage in debates and have campaigns. What many people don't realize is that that's one culture of Washington, but beneath it is another culture, the parasite culture, the people who come to Washington as members of staffs or congressional staffs who champion great ideals, feel that they want to be part of something larger than themselves, and they end up staying, and they end up living off of Washington.
Well, when you, I hesitate to say this because you're about 20.
I'm 24.
24. So when I say when you were young, I feel that this is a stretching a point. But when you were a kid,
right,
and getting interested in politics,
right,
you say you were attracted to the grand clash of political titans and their ideas. But to conservatism as a principle as well, I assume.
No, I was drawn to conservative ideas and figures. I think Ronald Reagan was the towering figure of the latter half of the 20th century. And, of course, that was, as you point out, when I was growing up. Mm. And, of course, there was a sense of great change in 1994 when the Republicans took over Washington, a sense of reform. And I think those ideas appeal to young people, young conservatives in particular.
Well, what's your judgment so far? Is it that that power corrupts, and that when you have power in all branches of government, it corrupts in all branches of government? Or is it that some particular misstep was made that resulted in the K Street conspiracy, as you describe it?
Well, I think that the question was always, would the Republicans change Washington, mm-hmm, or would Washington change the Republicans? And I think over the past few years we've discovered the answer. It's that conservatives, as they grew older and they became more comfortable with power and became more comfortable with their positions of prestige and even a small bit of notoriety, they grew lax. And I think they also felt righteous because they believed in the power of their ideas. And I think this blinded them occasionally to some of the bad actions they were taking.
Well, Matthew Continetti, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Matthew Continetti is author of the book The K Street Gang. You can read an excerpt and trace Jack Abramoff's connections on Capitol Hill at our website, npr.org.